Good evening. James McKinney here with my Science Hour. This is for November 28th, 2019, Thanksgiving Day. And as happens when my radio show falls on a holiday, there's many times people listening who've never heard me before. They're visiting friends, family, and this is the first time they've heard my voice. So I'll give a little bit of a history of myself so that they're maybe up to date. But this radio show has been going on for nearly 20 years. All the archives are on my webpage. I'm a frequent guest on many national, international radio TV shows. I've been multiple times on Russian TV, on Japanese TV. And I have international businesses, which I'll be talking about some of those this evening, which have upgrades, things that are going on today that are brand new. Tonight I'll be talking about reverse desertification, taking deserts and turning them into productive land. I'll be talking a little bit about the Pilgrims, the Thanksgiving, first Thanksgiving, and also about how to talk to your inner spirit, something that a lot of us forget about in our busy everyday lives. But first of all, a little bit of thanks for all of the blessings I've had in my life, all the places I've been, the things I've seen, the people I've met, and the wonderful, just all the wonderful people in the world that support me. Rational people with their head screwed on straight, their feet on the ground. And basically, if you look any place in the world, I find the same thing. That people just want a simple life. They want to be with their families, and they want to be, food on the table and a decent place to live and some place where they can work and earn a living and just live a normal life. That's what people are looking for. Most people don't need millions of dollars in private jets. They could care less about those kind of things. You know, they're just happy with what they have. So looking at the original Thanksgiving, however, is very interesting because when the Pilgrims came to the United States, of course, the Thanksgiving meal, the first one, was after a summer of hard work. In fact, they actually got there and spent a winter. And then they survived and they had a summer where they had a very bountiful summer grazing crops and harvesting natural foods, etc. And of course, the turkey, the wild turkey, is the symbol of Thanksgiving, being the centerpiece of most tables these days. And although we probably don't have wild turkeys on the table, there might be some people out there that do. I want to talk a little bit about that original Thanksgiving and what happened afterwards. Now, it's very similar to what's going on today. There seem to have been two groups of people. One that worked hard, they stored extra, they worked hard so they had extra and they stored it in a storage bin. And the original rule was if you needed something, you just went to the warehouse and picked it out and there was no questions asked. But they soon learned that there were some people who didn't work for at all. They just kept going to the warehouse because it was all free. So they had to make rules about who was able to take out of the warehouse. In other words, you couldn't take out more out of the warehouse than what you put in. And we're faced with that today. I think you could summarize the current political situation in the United States and possibly the whole world are those people who want something for free and those people who don't really care about getting something for free. They want to work hard and they want to see the benefits of their hard work. And that's what this entire United States country was based on. It was founded on the principle, you work hard, you keep what you work for, and everybody should have equal opportunity to work. But that doesn't mean everybody's going to turn out equal. Some people are just a little more savvy than others. They create businesses, and other people work for those businesses. It turns out in the military, very interestingly enough, that they did studies, and of course, over the decades and decades of trying to run a military, what they realized is that if you take a large group of people and they you just let them intermix, about one out of every 20 are natural leaders. And the other 19 just follow them. They just automatically, almost instantaneously pick out that person who's a natural born leader, and they follow what that person says. And that leader just instinctively takes the leadership position and directs traffic for the benefit of the group. So they learned that they would take those 20 people out and they would give them special training to be leaders. Then they realized that out of that group of 1 in 20, 1 in 20 of them were leaders of that group. So there was another division, and it was about 1 in 20. And so they would take those leaders and bring them into another group, and then out of that group, 1 in 20, etc. And so this was a natural selection, if you will, type of process where the leaders were literally almost self-chosen and self-selected by these autonomous groups. But that's about what we're dealing with today. So possibly about 1 in 20 people are leaders, and that's about the average size of a small company, where you find somebody that just built a business out of thin air and created employment for other people, and those other people are very happy to go there, do their job. They do a very good job and take directions, because that's sort of a natural division, 1 in 20. Okay, but out of these same numbers come people who just sit back and relax. And if they're not motivated, if they're not given direction, then they're just not going to do anything. So at any rate, I could go on, but it's very interesting to note that the original pilgrims had the same issues that we're dealing with today, that there are some people who just want to sit back and take from everybody else. And I'll mention something. Today you hear a lot of things about free education for all. And it turns out that free university education for all is a terrible idea. A lot of people do much better when they go to a trade school or something else. But the other issue, if you give every person a college education, there's some of them that will get an education, get a degree, and then go back for another degree and another degree, and pretty soon they're going to be 35 or 40 years old getting their fourth PhD, and then it's almost time to retire. So these people will live in grandma's basement forever and never really become productive citizens. The other problem with education for all is that those people who work hard for their education, for their bachelor's, their master's, or their PhD, or whatever, their education will be watered down, because now if you go out and you say, I have a master's degree, they're going to say, well, hey, that's no big deal. Everybody's got a master's degree today. What makes you so special? So it's going to water down all the degrees that are out there earned by people who actually went out and earned it and were not simply given it. If you have education for all, then you have to lower the standard of education so everybody can pass. And that's what happened in a lot of public schools, that they lower the standards to the point where everybody can pass and there's really no education there. Okay, so enough of that. First, want to mention, if you go to my webpage, you're going to see a little bit different format there at the top of the page. I've removed that big list of all of the things that I'm working on and put that down below. And what you're going to see is a number of new product offerings. They have the subpage now that is Numana Foods. And this is something that I just put up last night. I have a special arrangement with the manufacturers of Numana Storage Food. This is freeze-dried food in bulk. And this is for when people buy this, I recommend that they eat it all the time as a staple in your diet. So if there's an emergency, you're not opening these up for the first time. You're familiar with your emergency products, but they're not only for emergency. They're for they're high quality food, freeze dried food, and they will last, have a shelf life of about 25 years. And so, if you go to that subpage, this is a list of what the products are. There's a 1 month grab and go. It's a bucket with 70 servings, with gourmet lunches and dinners, and 10 breakfasts. Then there's the family pack, which is 144 servings with meals, breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Then there's also gluten-free family packs, and these are in sealing buckets. The containers are sealing, so you can use part of it and then seal it again. There's what is known as the Defender Nutritive Pack, and this includes such things as quinoa, black chia seeds, sprouting seeds, brown jasmine rice, rice, and spelt. And then 124 servings of a variety of very good food. And then there's the family pack with meat. Then there's the Defender pack with meat, the same meals except that now they include meat. There's seasoned ground beef, 36 servings of USDA premium beef in a container, and then there's also freeze-dried diced chicken. And then there's the organic family pack. Now, these are high-quality organic meals, and then there's also hormone-free milk. This is a skim, no-fat, powdered milk, and a very good price, a six-pack, and all the pricing is there with the order buttons where you can purchase this on PayPal. But what's happened, and then, by the way, there's some economical multi-packages where you can purchase in bulk at great discounts. And there's a drop-down menu, PayPal menu, for purchasing those. But what I've done is I've made arrangements with the manufacturer to get the best, lowest pricing available, plus free shipping, something that nobody else offers. So that's available on my webpage. The second thing are my water filters, and I just want to remind you that I have the MR5 and 7 whole house water filters, plus all the other gravity water filters, etc., all on 15% sale, free shipping to the 48 states. Here's another thing that I offer for free. If you email me your zip code and specify your water utility company, that it's on your water bill, you would get both of these, your zip code and your water utility company provider name. I will do the research on the chemicals, etc., that are in your water, the pollution, the toxins, and believe me, what happens is any of these companies will tell you they're compliant with federal standards. Well, federal standards are a joke. They're ridiculous. They do not tell you what's in your water, but I will, because now there are studies available for all the water companies in the country. This happened after the Michigan, remember the Flint, Michigan issue with polluted water. The government went out and did studies on all the utility companies in the country, and I have access to those databases. So send me your zip code and water utility company provider name, and the email is there on the top of my webpage. My webpage, by the way, jmccsci.com. And then also my paid cast. I'm now in the 100-session, 100-week education program. And so for $3.95 a month, you get a lecture every week. And these lectures have been going on since August of 2016. And with a subscription to the paid cast, you can get my library of books at very greatly reduced pricing. So go there, check that out. Another thing is, this week I have a Patreon channel. I just opened this, and it's just brand new. Patreon is a channel which promotes high-quality content, and it's a way for people to support the creator of that content through monthly either purchase the content or make donations, etc. And so anyway, I just opened the Patreon channel, and I'm using my paid casts as a basis for that because I want to expand to a much larger audience. And then the wing generator is there. I'm looking for people who are interested in co-ops. For those of you not familiar with the wing generator, it's hard to describe in words, but simply put, it's a very high efficiency wind energy device that I invented. It's patent pending, and there's a picture of it on my webpage. And right now we're marketing the 2 kilowatt to 250 kilowatt models. And so you can get car charging stations, reverse osmosis water purification, atmospheric water generators where you get water out of the air, water for purification and pumping. And if you have a shop like a welding or whatever, these are serious power units for farm and ranch. And something that's brand new, just posted last night, I just finished the negotiations to put this on my webpage as part of my product line, shipping containers. Now, some people might be going, well, I'm not, what do I need a shipping container for? These are the 20 and 40 foot shipping containers that you see traveling around the country on the back of trucks or on a big ship moving across the ocean. But what people are doing is buying these to put up as sheds, as storage buildings. And now we have the ability where we can make these into any type of structure, warehouse, house, underground bunker, whatever you want. We can cut doors and windows in them, put any type of configuration. So they're putting these together into very complex buildings, 2, 3, 4 story buildings made out of shipping containers. So this is a new industry, and because of my wing generator, shipping, etc., around the world, I now have access to brand new shipping containers. And so these would then be shipped to your location, and of course you'd have to pay for shipping, but I have very good pricing on brand new shipping containers. These are new, never been used, and brand spanking new. With I believe we can choose your colors even if you would like, but say you're thinking of putting up a shed, and it was going to be a 40 foot by 10 foot shed, 8 feet tall. You could not build a wooden shed for the price of one of these shipping containers. The prices are very low. And besides, it's talk about something that's durable. These are marine rated shipping containers that would go on a big ship to ship cargo hundreds and hundreds of times back and forth across the ocean. They seal, they're very tight. And like I say, we can put doors and windows. You could put a double glass door in one side of it, make a patio. And these things are rock solid, solid steel. So that's available on my webpage if you're interested. I also have a catalog of all kinds of ideas for ideas for building structures. And like I say, warehouses, or it could be a house, or it could be a cabin out in the woods someplace. And a lot of people put these up because they're instant. You put it there and it's ready to go. And solid, if I were going to weather out some kind of hurricane, these are hurricane rated, you know, so I mean, I've had some that I have literally went through two hurricanes, and they're still sitting right exactly where they were sitting. And that was during the XPRIZE back in a couple of years ago, when I was in the I was in a Pacific island doing the work towards the XPRIZE, Water Abundance XPRIZE, which I was a contestant. I came out second out of an international field of 98, and I won the XPRIZE Innovative Technology Innovation Achievement Award for 2018 with my wing generator and my machines that extract water from the air. But also along with this, these containers. So 20-foot, 40-foot, 40-foot tall containers available now on my webpage. And also I have, they're not exactly listed, but I have water containment tanks that are available. So anyway, the reason I wanted to mention this is because I feel that people should be very prepared in the world today. Now look at the situation going on in California with PG&E, the power company, that just dumped millions of customers one day. Nobody saw it coming. Nobody had an inkling of that this was going to happen. I did. I announced it on my show. If you go back, I said, yeah, PG&E is going to be bankrupt. I named them, and I also named other companies in the United States that cover vast areas, electric power companies that are on the verge of bankruptcy. I'll say one on the air is XL Energy out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. They're going to be in bankruptcy court. I don't know when, very soon. That's my prediction. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm in error, but no, they're financially toast. And hundreds of electric power companies across the United States are on the verge of bankruptcy. That was the case with PG&E in California. So look at all those people that one day are without electricity, and then when it comes back, the prices jumped up through the roof. So anyway, what I have done, and I did this, I started this a long time ago, is I put myself in front of these businesses for energy. That's the wing generator for water with my water filters, and now I have reverse osmosis. I had atmospheric water generators. Now I have the new Manna food on my site. Now I have shelters on my site, the shipping containers that are the most, they're just awesome in terms of if you want a shed or a building or any type of building that is just the most solid building you can find, shipping container buildings are the way of the future. Along with the energy, I offer electric car charging stations, and then education and true science. And so those are the things that you get from my webpage. Very important, all of these. So once again, I'm just going to read this list of things that are available, and also the water study, where I can take your zip code water company, and I think some of you are going to be really amazed what's in your water. You know, you have that Capital One advertisement slogan, it's what's in your wallet. Well, what's in your water is a very important slogan. Maybe I should make that my company's slogan for the JMCC water filters. But doing a study to say exactly what is in your water. And like I say, you're going to be shocked and amazed, number one, at the fact that the local water company is going to tell you everything's fine, don't worry, that they're federal compliant with all federal regulations. That's what they're going to tell you. And then you're going to get the email from me telling you what's really in your water, and you're going to be amazed at the number of pollutants, etc., in your water. And here's the issue, that if you're showering, you know, you think, okay, drinking water, brushing your teeth, that's what most people associate with having a water filter. That's important. But when you step into that shower every day, especially people showering with hot water, I shower with cold water myself. I don't have a hot water heater, if you can imagine that. So I shower with cold water. But if you step into a hot shower every day, that steam that forms, you're breathing it in, and it's going directly into your skin, is the biggest organ on your body, is your skin. And that's absorbing all of those chemicals every day. And that's why in the United States, the cancer rates are skyrocketing, because there's no accountability for the amount of toxin in the water. And I see builders, for example, housing builders, they concentrate on clean air, but very few, if any, are concerned about clean water. And that's why I offer the whole house water filters, because you take all of those toxins out, before it gets to your shower. So if you value your family's long-term health, getting a, and these are inexpensive. We used to sell a variety of whole house water filters in the $3,000 range. Now they're down to around $1,500 for a filter that will take out all of these chemicals from your water. And then when whether you're in the bathroom brushing your teeth or whether you're at the kitchen sink, your whole house has clean water. And for a $1,500 price tag and a little bit of maybe a plumber to help put it in, if you're handy, you can put these in yourself, not a problem. But a lot of people would require a plumber to come over for a half a day and install it. But to have clean water for your whole house, for your whole family, that's probably one of the best investments you could ever make in your life, as regarding health. Okay, so that's it. Go to my webpage. It's all there, jmccsci.com. And this is my Thanksgiving gift to you. Clean water, storage food, shelter, energy with the wing generator, electric, the option for electricity. And by the way, the wing generators also, people are starting to look at these for electric furnaces where they can add additional heat to their house. Those windy winter nights, turn that wind into heat in your house. And then education and everything else that goes with my webpage. Just a quick note on a fire that occurred. There was a Tesla automobile, and of course these have lithium ion batteries. It took them 2 hours to put out this fire, a car fire, because the battery broke down internally and was on fire. And this is a new danger with electric cars. Hopefully the industries will start to resolve these issues and find workarounds. On to the next topic. This is a huge issue, reverse desertification. I saw a YouTube video. It was by John D. Liu. And now he's a photographer. L-I-U is his last name. John D. is the middle initial, L-I-U. And he's got several YouTube videos on reverse desertification. Of course, desertification is the creation of desert due to man-made activity. Now, if you look on my webpage, going back to probably the year 2010, I posted on my webpage, and you'll find this on the, if you scroll down on my webpage, historically significant subpages. But I have 11 mega earth projects that are necessary. One of them is reverse desertification. And now I want to preface this by saying that I've done studies on the world population. And one might think, well, most of the world's population lives in big cities. If we could just move these people off to the and green the deserts, so to speak, everybody would have a big parcel of land. And it's actually not the case. There's a great benefit, actually, to having large concentrations of people in small areas. Because with the world population the way it is now, it's supposedly around 7.5 billion. I don't know how they come to these numbers, because nobody's out there counting noses, I guarantee you. And there's massive increases in population that are simply unaccounted for. My estimation is that the world population right now is around 10 billion. And there are very good reasons for believing this. But the question is, if you could take the world's population and then reverse desertification of the world's desert, the Sahara Desert, the American Southwest, India, all of the deserts around the world, the Gobi Desert, etc. If you could green these areas, would there be enough land where everybody could have, 100 acres? And the answer is no. With the world population the way it is today, everybody would get a relatively small piece of land. And this is not too hard to imagine. You take the surface land of the earth, you divide it by the number of people, or vice versa, to understand how many people per square acre or square unit of land per square mile, etc. But the idea that we could take and reverse the deserts that have been formed, and for example, it's very clear that many of the deserts that are here were caused by man. The Sahara Desert is only a couple thousand years old. And my understanding is that much of it was cut down by the Roman armies, that there were forests there. And they cut them down to build the ships. We sometimes forget about the massive shipbuilding that went on with the Roman Empire and the naval wars that went on. Well, where did they get the timber to make the ships? These are big, big ships. Remember the rowing ships, for example, in the movie Ben-Hur? And there's been some other movies that typify that also. But these are big. They're almost the size of an aircraft carrier. Some of them are not quite that big, but certainly a number of 100 feet long. For example, here's another example that the Vikings cut down oak wherever they went to build their 200-foot-long dragon boats, they were called. They called them a dragon boat because they had the big dragon symbol up on the nose and on the tail, but as they went through the water, they slithered. They actually moved and worked. The planks of the boat actually moved one against the other as they moved through the water, and so they looked like almost like a serpent snaking through the waves as they proceeded on their way across the water. But the Romans had huge navies, and clearly Italy was not the source of the wood for that. They had to go out and find it someplace else, and that was where the Sahara Desert finally bit the dust, so to speak, was when the Romans went in there and cut everything down to make ships with. And of course, ecology was not was not high on the list of things that the Romans were interested in. They pretty much destroyed whatever they came in contact. They pillaged whatever there was, the resources, and ecology and the environment were not big on their list, although they had the aqueducts and other engineering marvels. The destruction caused by the Roman Empire was pretty massive, to put it lightly. But this is something that's very important. I'll just name a few other of my Earth mega projects. One is to drain, number one on the list, is to drain the water from the Yellowstone caldera. Because, very simply, in history there have been three major volcanic eruptions, pyroclastic, meaning massive explosive eruptions. There have been dozens and dozens of eruptions of the Yellowstone volcano, but only three of them were pyroclastic, in other words, the explosive kind that blows the material out over a 5 or 10 equivalent state area. What are states now, you can look at these maps, I have them on my webpage, where the ash went from these various major explosions of the Yellowstone caldera. And all three of the historic ones were at a time when there was a lake present in the volcanic caldera. All of the other ones were just oozing, magma came out, and it was a very localized event. But you take that water, and if it drops down and hits the magma down deep in the earth from the lake, that's what causes the explosion, something that modern geologists do not understand. In fact, last year, NASA suggested pumping water down into the caldera at Yellowstone to try and cool it off. And then when somebody stepped back and did some calculations, they said, well, using your method, it would take 10,000 years to cool it down just a little bit. And then you risk the chance of massive explosion. So, at any rate, pumping water into a live volcano is not a good idea, as they learned in Hawaii, where there was a geothermal station pumping water down into the ground and potentially caused the eruption that occurred there 2 years ago. But anyway, back to the whole issue of desertification, in man's use of resources, this is in Africa, this is globally, China, India, and United States, desertification. If you look on a map of the most the most depleted land in the world, you will find the central United States ranks almost number one in the world for depleted land, and that includes all of the breadbasket states. The only reason something grows there is because it's hybrid corn, GMO corn, with ammonia fertilizers. And it looks really nice, but when driving through Kansas and Nebraska a couple of years ago, you would come across entire areas where the farmers were not planting. And there was not even a weed that would grow there because of the amount of Roundup of glyphosate they're pouring on the land. And of course, that's polluting the land. Just want to mention also the vast amount of pollution. There's recent studies on the fluoride-related compounds related to the production of Teflon, a chemical basically used around the world for all kinds of applications, not the least of which is in the kitchen. And so after decades of use, they found out, doggone, this causes cancer. Not only does it cause cancer, but the fluoridated chemicals in the have polluted the water around the world. And by the way, my water filters take that out of the water. But back to reverse desertification. It's top on my list. And the way I can contribute to that is with the wing generator, very efficiently taking energy from the wind to pump water, to filter water, and to distribute, for example, the spring runoff that goes down the Mississippi and out into the Gulf of Mexico, to take that and divert it to the American Southwest, where we can green that American Southwest. Can you imagine all of that useless space, which I've driven through many times, possibly you have also, where you would drive through, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles with maybe a few antelope visible, or maybe some herds of cattle out there grazing, but basically almost barren land. If you could reverse that and create land that was as productive as the, say, Ohio and Virginia when the Europeans first came, can you imagine the difference in our ecosystems? So at any rate, reverse desertification, something that's on my particular list of things to do. And of course, people out there, you might ask, well, how can I help? Just be aware of it. Be aware that when people are working on projects, try to support them. And as far as I'm, my work is concerned, moving water is part of what I do. That's part of my product line. I mentioned on a few radio shows where I've been guest recently that I wanted to talk to you about how to talk to your inner spirit. And a lot of people are completely unaware of this in your busy everyday lives. You kind of forget. And in a lot of, say, religious settings, they talk about your soul. And most people think it's like something that's kind of like this little circle on top of your head, or they really not even sure what it is. But let me explain very succinctly that inside of every one of your bodies is contained a spirit. And it's like the closest thing we can describe in terms of human consciousness is an energy field. And I'm not saying that's what it is, but it's like an entity that is a spiritual that exists in your body. And that occurred when you were conceived. When you were conceived, that spirit entered and took on all of the experiences that you have. But what's happened is people really have never been taught. And I had a strict Catholic education from grade school, high school, college. I went to private Catholic schools, and nobody in that entire time taught me how to communicate with my inner spirit. So it's something I had to learn by myself. And the way I started figuring this out is, as a kid, I grew up in Minnesota. I was born up on the Canadian border and then grew up in southern Minnesota, but always loved the North Woods. So I would go up there on canoe trips. And a lot of times there was nobody available to go with, so I would go by myself. And there were times when I would spend months up in the wilderness by myself. I carried food along, food that I could mix with water, or cereal, or granola, and then caught fish and ate berries and, food that I would find, and literally live out there for months. But something started to happen because of being conscious of myself. I started to realize that, you know, there were two aspects of me. It wasn't just my physical brain that remembered things or that were part of my personality. It was this entity that was living inside me. So it's like most people don't really differentiate because you're kind of one in the same. But if you compare you to a monkey out in the swinging around the trees, or your pet dog or your cat, they respond to stimuli. They spend literally their whole life responding to external stimuli. Are they hungry? Go get something to eat. Do they have to go to the bathroom? They, you know, that's they're completely responding to external stimuli until the point where they die. But people are different. You can control what you do. You can plan, you can think, you can imagine, you can look up at the stars. How many of your dogs have you seen lately looking up at the stars and thinking about nuclear fusion? It's probably not going to happen. I often kid about fish and whales in the ocean. They say that whales are intelligent and dolphins are intelligent, etc. But I haven't seen too many building spacecraft lately to go into outer space, or building nice houses, or changing their environment in any way, shape, or form. The most that a whale or a dolphin might get a glimpse that there's even something outside of their ocean environment, the only thing they have is maybe a split-second glimpse when they jump out of the water for a second and look up, and they see something out there, and then they fall back in the water again. And so I often say that humans are the same relative to the spiritual world. Now and then we get a little brief glimpse into that spiritual world, but then we fall back into our three-dimensional lifestyle with all of the senses and that are related to our body. And so we don't really recognize that there is a spiritual entity associated with our body. So how do you talk to this entity that when you die leaves your body? So it's separate, and it's something that is there while you're alive. So, and this is actually a great gift, but a lot of people just have no clue. But how do you talk to this person? So it's very interesting because all of the, I'll just give you an example here, an example that everybody can relate to. When politicians are dishonest, now I'm sure you can all point, and we might be in disagreement about who's honest and who's not being politicians, but the fact is that when politicians are dishonest, what do? They put on a nice suit, they talk swell, they have all the catchphrases on what they're supposed to say to make you think that they're great people, and when they're in the background doing all kinds of dirty work. And I don't want to start political discussions on Thanksgiving. Please don't think I'm going there. But the point is that they know that if they really talk about what they're really thinking, then the public wouldn't buy it, very simply. So it's written in everybody's persona, in their spirit, etc., what's good, what's right, and what's wrong. And so the people that want to fool you are dishonest. As the Native Americans used to say, they speak with a forked tongue. And they'd say one thing, but do another. And usually that other thing is done behind your back so that you don't know it. And then later you find out that you have been had, you know, basically. But anyway, what that brings you to the idea that this spirit that lives in you has a certain ethical code that comes along with it. And this is not something that your dog or cat has. if the dog goes into heat, the female dog, you know, then that's all of the other male dogs are reacting to that. It's not a conscious effort. Whereas you come up to the human level, then you can say that, okay, you want your kids to find good partners, to marry them, to be honest with them, to have children and live a nice, honest lifestyle, etc. But there are so many diversions in the world today, it's just more than unbelievable. But inside everybody, whether you're giving way to those worldly temptations or whatever you want to call them, inside you really know what's right and what's wrong. And so it's there. And that is the spirit. That's the spirit part of you. And so when you have this conflict, you know, your body tells you one thing, you want to do this, but your spirit is telling you another thing. That is the spirit. And so now you're starting to understand that's the communication that's going on automatically in your body between you and your spirit. Whether you like it or not, whether you're thinking about it or not, you are communicating with your spirit. And now you can elevate your physical being by following the righteous, the ethical standards that are input into you with that being. And now, I'll be honest with you, I've met people who have a very evil spirit living in them. And there's ways to cure that, ways to deal with that. But even those people know what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, because they too will try to hide their activities from people in their family or people that are close to them. Why do they do that? Because they know inherently that it's not correct. And so they have to fool themselves. But once again, that's communicating with your spirit. And so this is kind of lesson one. I talk about this in my paid casts also. And this is something that kids should learn, but unfortunately a lot of adults have never learned this. And so they're living their life, they've lived their entire life without a clue of this communication that they should have internally. Now, believe me, once you get adept at communicating with this spirit that's in your body, things get much more, I wouldn't say complicated, they become, you start reaching a much higher level in your existence. Because now you're communicating with or on a much higher plane. And if you go to certain cultures, they talk about the spiritual people, or the people who have, and other people can kind of recognize that person is a spiritual person. The indigenous people had what they called medicine men or spiritual people, because they recognized that those people had taken the time out to communicate with that other entity. And so this leads into all kinds of other levels of communication, which I'm not going to talk about now, but a lot of people have not even made that first baby step. Just a quick note, and this is for people who have never heard me before, etc. I usually have a main science topic. And tonight, I'll just make a quick mention that there's really nothing going on in the world of outer space that's noteworthy today. If you read engineering magazines, etc., you might think there is. But in terms of real development for the human race, there are a few things going on, and I talk about those. For example, the Richard Branson effort to bring large numbers of tourists into space, that I think is significant. Not because of the hardware. A lot of times when we think of travel into outer space, you think of the hardware, the size of the rockets or the technology or the computers that run everything. But really the major effort should be in getting you, the public, into outer space. And not just onesie-twosies, not 5 or 10 people, but hundreds of thousands of people, because this is your birthright. And the real issue is that eventually this planet Earth is going to be potentially uninhabitable. Or for a brief time, we could have, you know, minor mass extinctions, or we could have major mass extinctions. And these things could happen at any given time. And so the idea is that unless you have large numbers of people going into outer space, you're not going to learn the ways of outer space. It's like when the pioneers came across the American Southwest. If NASA had been given the edict to populate the American West back in the 1800s, I often say they would have built a covered wagon with all of the necessary items for one or two people. And when they got to the West Coast, they would have declared it a top secret, and nobody would have ever gone to the West Coast to develop the huge populations that are there today. That's what would have happened with NASA, and that's what's going on with outer space. NASA is taking a onesie-twosie approach, like they're going to send a man to Mars, they claim, in, 20 years? Well, what's that going to do for the rest of you? You're going to sit back and pay for this, and there's a lot of people like myself who don't think they can ever go to Mars. And that in spite of what may or may not have happened in the past, they have no ability to even go to the moon. So the end result is that you, the population, has to, there has to be an effort on a wide scale to bring large numbers of people into outer space. That's the basis of my one book, The Diamond Principle. It's about the sixth book in the series of about 11 books. And the Diamond Principle deals with large numbers of people in society. It's kind of a view of society today and then a going into the future and looking back on today's society. But the ultimate goal is that the birthright to the stars belongs to everybody, not a couple astronauts that get special training. And it would be like, I often relate this to, say, surfboarding. Federal Aviation Administration wants to put all kinds of regulations on people going into space, but nobody cares. They claim this is for your safety, but nobody cares about surfboarders. Here's people that go out into the ocean with a little board, jump on a wave and could bonk their heads. It's very dangerous potentially, but people go out there and do it. There's no special government class given on surfboarding. There's no license given. People just go do it, and they get very good at it on their own. And that's the same with outer space. If you just open up outer space to everybody, it's going to be very easy to get into outer space, and people are going to be going there just like surfing. But if you let the government get in the way and prevent everybody from going into outer space, what we have today is what you get, a very big price tag for nobody getting into outer space, and certainly not in any large numbers, and that is your birthright. So this is something that on a Thanksgiving day, you should be thankful for everything you have, but everything you have is down here on planet Earth. Your birthright is in the stars, and if we do not make it into orbit around the sun, away from planet Earth, literally, and learn how to live out there on a large scale with hundreds of thousands of people in autonomous spacecraft, then the human race is going to be doomed, basically, because sooner or later, something big is going to happen. And I'm not just talking about asteroids colliding into Earth. That's been way overplayed by NASA. Completely overplayed. There's no evidence for mass extinction. You know, this famous one that all the kids learn about today in the textbooks about asteroid killing the dinosaurs could not possibly be true. Actually, the Earth would absorb those impacts on a very local basis. And researchers have studied the only impact basin on Earth that could possibly be related to a mass extinction off of the coast of Yucatan, and Even locally, the dinosaurs didn't die off. There's dinosaur bones and activity that was on top of the rim of the crater they claim was the impact that caused the demise of the worldwide dinosaur population. Couldn't possibly be true. What I'm talking about is a large celestial object coming near Earth and causing gravity waves, electromagnetic interactions, etc. I talk about this in my books. Those are the real issues, and the reality of this happening in the past is there, and we don't have a date. There was a whole wave of disinformation in the late 1990s and through the 2000s, all this baloney about Planet X. It turns out that there are many Planet X objects, of which NASA is hiding a lot of information, but there's no indication that something's going to happen tomorrow or next week or in the next 10 years. There was a major object that came through the solar system. It was the nucleus of the comet of Hale-Bopp, and I talk about that. It took me a long time to understand that, and I presented an entire DVD on that topic. But in terms of the future, it looks pretty clear. And so you'll see a lot of fear-mongering on YouTube channels, a lot of false fear-mongering. But the thing we have to concentrate on in the long term, it might take us 1,000 years to develop a capacity where large numbers of people can go autonomously into outer space. And the only problem is it's not good for the world, business investments that go on today, venture capital, etc., because there's no return on investment, because if there's an autonomous spacecraft that goes out there and all the people leave and don't have to come back, there's no return on investment. So the current economic model is one that simply does not work. Anyway, with that in mind, once again, go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. The new Manna Foods, the water filters, the Patreon channel, the wing generator, the new availability of shipping containers and shipping container buildings, all there on the webpage, jmccsci.com, the paidcast, etc. A lot of information to digest. But happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Eat a lot of turkey. And then I suppose a lot of people watching football. So have a great day. This is James McKinney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.